but others need us in our salvation. They'll finally depend, as Christ, remember, told us in predicting the last day, our salvation finally depends on our practice of selfless charity. And the most important, the most fundamental form of charity we are to practice to others is to be communicators of grace from the Christ with whom we are united to the people whom he places into our lives. As we reflect on the lay apostolate in the light of the teaching of the Second Vatican Council and of the Vicar of Christ, we shall keep the spiritual exercises always in focus, but notice, always in focus, keeping in mind we are to not just make a good retreat, we are to make a retreat that will change our lives and make us such effective channels of God's grace in a world, apostles of his grace, as we've never been before. How the church needs, how she needs holy, God-loving, Christ imitating members of the laity. Dear Lord, help all of us to make this the best retreat of our lives, so that by the grace you give us, we may then communicate your grace to everyone who we place into our lives for this main purpose, that we, being so closely united with you by doing your will ourselves, you will use us to make every single person, even the telephone caller who apologizes for calling the wrong number, closer to God, because we have entered that person's life. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mass, as you know, we'll follow, and as you also know, we may receive communion a second time at this evening's Mass.
Conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He prunes away every barren branch, but the fruitful ones he trims clean to increase their yield. You are clean already, thanks to the word I have spoken to you. Live on in me as I do in you. No more than a branch can bear fruit of itself apart from the vine, can you bear fruit apart from me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who lives in me and I in him will produce abundantly. For apart from me, you can do nothing. A man who does not live in me is like a withered, rejected branch picked up to be thrown into the fire and burnt. If you live in me and my words stay part of you, you may ask what you will and it will be done for you. My Father has been glorified in your bearing much fruit and becoming my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I am the vine, you are the branches. Live on in me as I do in you. What an appropriate first gospel for our retreat. A gospel that clearly refers to the divine life of God's grace that we are called to embrace. Live on in me. As we begin the retreat tonight, how do we live on in Him? What's the first thing we must do to be able to live on in Him and let Him live in us? First and foremost, we must really listen. Listen to the voice of God, the call of God, the movements of God's grace in our mind. If you think about it, we listen to all kinds of sounds throughout the day. Even at this moment, we're kind of blocking out the sounds of traffic outside, the sounds of the air conditioner tonight, and so forth. But what else do we block out? So often we block out in our mind the thoughts that our Lord wants us to focus on. It's important we realize we selectively listen, and tonight, and during this retreat, we need to selectively listen to our Lord. We need to block out the distractions of our life around us. Listen to His call. Listen to His voice. This past weekend, I was visiting my sister, and her 20-year-old daughter wanted to play chess. She just learned how. I said, well, okay, but you've got to play by my rules. There's a 5-second limit on moves. It's a very quick game. And she kind of looked funny at me, and I thought, well, we'll just try this. And so we did, and it was a massive slaughter for the first few minutes. And finally she got, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to take my time. And if you think about it, it's kind of the way we live. We live in the rush of life, with life controlling us and deadlining us and running from this thing to the next. Not listening to anything but this agenda, this schedule that we've set up and fallen prey to. And in the pressure of that, it's not much fun, and there's a lot of loss. There's a lot of bad moves that are made. But as with my niece, once we begin to back off and listen to the logic and anticipation of what's involved, we can begin to really live in a meaningful way, to live in Him and let Him live in us. And so the key of our free beginning, the key of living in Christ, is to listen and to notice what we are listening to and what we are not listening to, and to be willing to put aside the things we normally listen to, that long list of distractions and anxieties and fears and inordinate attachments. and during this next 4 days to really focus on and key our ears to hear the voice of God speaking to us. To really, really listen. And if we do listen, then our Lord will challenge us to begin to integrate into our lives what we are to be listening for and watching for. As I drove in, I got caught in a lot of traffic at one point, and my old way was always frustration, and I'm in a rush, and this doesn't need to be happening. Why is this happening? But recently I've come to, well, wonder what God has in mind. Well, in the slowness of the traffic, I noticed a van broken down off on the medial strip, and there was a lady standing there. And so it was very easy in the rush of life. I never would have had time. I'd have been a quarter mile past her before I could stop it. So I pulled in front and walked up to her, and I'm kind of the Dick Van Dyke type of person when it comes to cars. You ever seen the Dick Van Dyke show? He opens up the hood and he says, "Aha! An engine." That's about the way it is with me. You know? So my opening plea to her was, "Can I take you to a gas station?" And she misunderstood me. She was an Indian lady, and she said, "I don't need gas. Everything's fine." And she came and brought me up to the van and started to crank it up. And this misunderstanding of our communication, though, did cause me to focus on her gas gauge. And I said, "Your gas gauge says empty." She says, "Well, I got another tank." And she switched the tank, cranked the key, and it worked. You know, if you think about it, what was going on with her was fear, anxiety. You know, she just wasn't thinking straight because she was concerned about breaking down. And the Lord sends along this inept person who doesn't have a clue of what to do to help her. And through misunderstanding, he's able to lead us both to do what needed to be done. But all of this was possible because our Lord was leading me to integrate into my life a sense of wonder what God has in mind. A sense of letting this listening begin to flow into being clay in God's hands. We're all so much like Jeremiah 18. The Lord keeps reforming the clay till He gets something that works for us, because we keep saying no to what He originally had in mind. And so the willingness on our part is to not only listen, but to the degree of our limitations to begin to integrate into our lives what He's calling us to do. And then comes the hard part. To listen, to integrate, but how do we live in Christ most fully? By validating all of this in the midst of suffering. Did you notice what it says? "But the fruitful ones He trims clean to increase their yield." So often we struggle with, how are all these people who are living wild lives so successful, so happy, having things go their way, and we are struggling along? The fruitful ones He trims clean. Our whole life is called to be a willingness to let our Lord cut away what needs to be cut away. Sometimes it seems like He's cutting too deeply or too much. And yet, you know, in pruning, we have to cut away more than it seems necessary. Because if we don't let the Lord cut away what needs to be cut away in our lives, then we'll do the cutting. And we'll cut off God from our lives. I see it happen so much. People unknowingly begin to drift into an apartness from God. In the same gospel, what does He say? "Without me, you can do nothing." Nothing. And so the validation of this whole living in Christ is a willingness to let Him cut away what He will. As Father mentioned so beautifully in his book, Retreat with the Lord, four categories of creatures, that sense of detachment, that willingness to let go, to take what God gives and to accept what God takes away. Right now, I think all of us can think of some things we're struggling with in our lives, some things we're hesitant to let go of. The validation is letting the Lord cut it away. If we truly listen to our Lord and integrate what He calls us to and validate it through accepting the pruning He does in our lives, inevitably we'll be able to fully and calmly embrace what He is calling us to. There's an old Jewish story about an older lady who had stopped going to the synagogue. The rabbi certainly noticed, and one day he went to her house. When she answered the door, he said, "Can we sit by the fireplace?" And so they went in and they sat down looking at the fire, and neither one spoke. And after a long silence, the rabbi took some tongs and took one of the burning coals out of the fire and placed it on the hearth. And it glowed and burned and began to fade, and then it died. The woman looked at the rabbi and said, "I understand. I will be there this weekend." The same with us. Unless we embrace the fire and the warmth of Christ in our life and do all that that means, we'll be apart from Him. And slowly the glow in our life will fade and die. How often we see that in relationships, husband and wife, friends, children and parents, where an apartness begins to happen, and all of a sudden the glow of that relationship dies out. And there's nothing there but coldness and tension and apartness. Just as that happens in our relationship with others, if we're not careful, it can happen in our relationship with God. We must, if we truly love someone, be willing to waste time with them. To come here in the chapel, be before our Lord, and not feel we have to constantly be arriving at insights, though we need to do that, but to be willing to just come and listen. Spend time with Him, let Him touch us and move us. Our Lord tonight is telling us, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Live on in me as I live in you." Let us listen and integrate and validate and embrace the reality of God's call and God's love in our lives.
Let us pray. For an abundance of God's grace,